Welcome to another episode of the Microsoft Spotlight podcast. Today it's just me, John and Sophie are currently on customer work, so you have the pleasure of just hearing my voice and the guest today. And today I'm joined by Rachel. Hello, Rachel.
Yeah, hi, Andrew. Thank you so much. I'm happy to be here.
Yeah, it's good. So it's always nice to have a bit of energy, you know, in a podcast, you know, happy, smiley.
Yeah.
So do you want to tell us? Do you want to just tell us a little bit about yourself and what you're currently doing?
Okay, sure. My name is Rachel Abo, like Andrea said, and I'm happy to be here. I'm a Microsoft MVP. I recently joined the program in January. This is February, yeah. So I joined the program in January, and I'm a Microsoft Power Platform developer and Dynamics 365 CRM developer. I'm also a technical writer. I love contributing to the Microsoft blog post, and I also have a personal newsletter and article. And I'm also a Power Platform advocate. I love calling myself a Power Platform advocate. So yeah, I think that's enough about me. Yeah,
cool. And obviously we met last year at the Safeco Summit. So you came to the session that me and John run about women in tech. And obviously that's when I've seen you, like, you know, on LinkedIn for quite a while before that. So it was just like, well, there you go. You could be a potential guest. So I thought, obviously, come and introduce myself and finally get you on to, you know, have this conversation today.
Yeah, thank you so much. And your session was really nice. I enjoyed it a lot. Yeah, your session last year.
Yeah, I mean, we've got so many. I mean, I think we said it on this podcast in the last episode we did with Chris. Obviously, he was one of the guests on the panel. You know, he took so much out of it. And obviously, then I think I had a conversation with yourself and with Ablef. And yeah, it's just nice to obviously get people in the room who are, you know, passionate about making a change and making a difference.
Yeah, it's amazing. Yeah, it's really, really amazing. And I think a lot of persons shared their different views and talked about how to help, how to be an ally to women in tech. So it's good. Yeah.
So you're the very first guest we've ever had from Malta. So I have a lot of questions that I've asked previous guests because, you know, from different regions, it varies. So first of all, let's just start off with, obviously, what was school life for you? So, I mean, how did you go from school and transition to the world of, you know, IT?
Okay, from transitioning from school to IT. Okay, I think that's an amazing question. Thank you. I recently graduated, and that was this is 2024, okay? Yes, in 2024. I graduated in 2022. So immediately I graduated, I started working. But when you say transition into tech, so I was in my final year when I got to know about, like, careers in tech, that coming into tech is not really that big mountain that nobody can cross into, because I've heard a lot about, okay, there's tech, there are a lot of things, TV, obviously people are making this. So, but I did not really have an idea that, okay, tech is something I can come into. So getting to learn about Power Platform, I attended a bootcamp where I got to learn about Power Platform, that I could build applications, create workflow, build chatbots, and also dashboards with Power Platform. And yeah, so during when I was in school in my last year, my last semester during my exam, I think it was very close to my exam period, I got to know about Power Platform. I got to attend a boot camp. I fell in love with Power Platform. I fell in love with Power Platform. Like, okay, wow. So I'm just starting and I can build an application. Okay, definitely. This is something I want to try. Yeah, so I got started with Power Platform, joined the community, started working on my skills and volunteering in the community, obviously. Yeah, so from there. Yeah,
cool. I mean, obviously I know a little bit about your past. Obviously I get every guest to share some information. So you joined the Microsoft Learn Students Ambassadors program. It's not something we've ever really spoke about on this podcast before. Do you want to tell us a little bit about it and how it works?
Okay, the Microsoft Learn Student Ambassador program, it's for students like from all over the world, different persons. You get to connect with different students from different parts of the world, and it's really amazing, because when I joined, I really wanted to be among people who had the same goals as me and also had that particular vision that, like, nothing is impossible, and also people to help me when I needed questions, like when I'm stuck in a particular maybe when I'm building something, I'm stuck. I needed people I could easily reach out to, and the Microsoft Learn Student Ambassador community was amazing in so many ways. So it's an opportunity to just join a student community where you get to connect with different Microsoft MVPs, you get to connect with different Microsoft employees, you also get to, you get access to different learning materials, and you also get the opportunity to teach what you have learned. Like, because there's something I strongly believe in is that when you learn, like when you're learning a technology or learning a platform, and you obviously have to build projects while learning. But I think there's something that we need to add to it that makes it easier, especially for me in my own journey, was building, learning, and teaching others. Yeah, so it gives you the opportunity to host events and also teach others what you know. Yeah.
Okay, cool. So I've heard like the program name bounced around a few times and seen different people from what was Twitter, which is now X. Oh, I've completely come off that now. I can't be doing it. You know, I've heard obviously the program, so it's just nice obviously to get a flavour of what it actually is, because you know, I mean, how does one join the program, and you know, is it open to everyone? Can you basically join from any country? Is it regionalized?
Okay, it's open to everybody, which is something I love about the Microsoft Learn Student Ambassador Program. It's open to everyone, whether you're in college, whether you're in university. In Nigeria, we have something called Polytechnic. It's also part of the educational system. So whether you're in the Polytechnic, whether you're in college, wherever you are eligible to apply for the Microsoft Learn Student Ambassador Program. And it's available to all regions and all countries. Yeah. It's amazing.
Okay, cool. So you just touched on something then. So obviously, you know, originally you are from Nigeria, I reckon?
Yes, yeah. I'm from Nigeria.
And obviously you've then obviously moved over to Malta. So what made you make that change? Because obviously normally people obviously go to like one of the bigger countries, but what made you go to Malta?
Okay, I got a job here in Malta. Like I said, I graduated 2022. So I got a job on Dynamics 365 CRM and Power Platform. So I got a job in Malta, and yeah, I relocated to Malta. Yeah.
So since obviously being in Malta, what has life been like for you? Has there been any like challenges that you've had to basically overcome? Obviously it's going from a, you know, completely different country to another.
It's been amazing. Like I wish I could show you, but my view, I stay in an apartment and the view I have is the view of the ocean. So it's really, really beautiful. Yeah. So anybody that comes to my place, they're like, okay, when you go to the balcony, they're like, okay, wow, this is amazing. So yeah, so I'm staying in, yeah. So the view is amazing. And also Malta is an island.
Yeah.
Malta is an island. It's pretty small, so you can move around easily. Then I don't think of any challenges really. I think the only challenge I had when I came here was getting an apartment. It took me like 2 weeks to get an apartment. Then I think when you change to a different country, you just have to, I don't speak too much, especially when I don't really know the person and it's a new place. So I think it was a bit hard for me to feel more relaxed. At least now I'm better. I speak a lot now. But yeah, so it was a little bit difficult for me to relax. And also, I travel a lot too. So that's an added plus. I travel a lot because Malta is part of the Schengen. So I travel a lot. Yeah.
Okay. Obviously, the culture is obviously completely different to what you grew up with and what you're used to.
Yeah, the culture is different. It's different from Nigeria. And I see a lot of persons. They are more, I don't really know how to point them out, but they are quite different. And I think especially the work culture too is quite different. It's more free. I've not worked in Nigeria because I just graduated. But from what stories I have heard, it's very, very quite different and better than the work culture I had in my country. Yeah.
So with that obviously transition period, you know, going to Malta, getting yourself an apartment, how did you like start networking, and is there many communities within Malta?
Yeah, they are not much communities. I don't really go out that much. I'm mostly on my system 24/7. But when I got to Malta, yeah, I noticed that there is no Power Platform community and Dynamics community. And I was like, okay, let me work on this. Let me invite anybody who is interested to join me so that we can create a community here in Malta. So myself and Foshaw, we created a community in Malta. That was last year. I think early or late last year, we created a community here in Malta, and we host the events in Microsoft Office here in Malta. Yeah, and apart from that, there is a data community in Malta too, and I know the person hosting it. And we're actually planning to. He's planning to hold like a global Azure bootcamp here in Malta. So yeah. Yes, community. Okay, cool. Yeah.
So what's the women in tech community like? What's the dynamic of the team that you're working in?
Okay, it's amazing. I think that was one of the things that really interests me a lot, is that you do not get to see that much difference between women and men in tech. Here in Malta, there are a lot of women who are in tech. There are a lot of men also who are in tech, and they are very cooperative. They reach out to you to ask you, like, do you need any help? Is there any difficulty you are having? Stuff like that. So it's really amazing to have someone out there who is ready to actually lift you up. Yeah, so it's pretty amazing. Yeah.
So there's a good support network when it comes to obviously women in tech. Is there many male allies that basically are very proactive within your own business or just in Malta in general?
I do not know. Like I say, I do not have an idea. I do not have an idea. But for women I speak with a lot of women, and they are very supportive. Yeah.
That's good.
They're very supportive. Yeah.
So with the life then obviously going from Nigeria to Malta and obviously always being kind of involved in Microsoft, what's your obviously you've become an MVP recently, and obviously I know how difficult that is and how much work goes into that. It's not just a couple of hours here and there. It's like a full-time commitment doing content. Because of that transition from Nigeria to Malta, you basically had the time to basically put effort into achieving more community work to achieve the MVP status, where if you was probably working back in Nigeria, you probably wouldn't have that same level of spare time, because obviously you'd be around your family, your friends, all your usual social networks, where obviously you've gone to Malta and you've got all this additional time that you didn't have before. So that's kind of a help push you on.
I think when I was in Nigeria, I think I do more community work now it's more structured. I can say my community work now is more structured than when I was in Nigeria. I was not staying with my parents when I was in Nigeria. I was staying in the hostel, like my own place, not really in the school environment, my own place in Nigeria. So I had a lot of time to actually work on the community. So I didn't really have anybody like sending me on errands, stuff like that. I was just focused on my schoolwork and then on upskilling and also the community, contributing to the community. So I can say with me coming to Malta, it's different because I have the opportunity to travel. I have the opportunity to travel to different country, because recently, beginning of this month, I traveled to Estonia to speak at the Cloud Technology Conference, Tallinn Conference. And it's being in Malta is different because I have the opportunity to travel. And now, before I left, I'm actually doing the same thing I was doing in Nigeria and doing it here in Malta, because I also have a podcast called A Girl in Love with Tech. I have a newsletter, I have a Medium, I have an article on Medium. I also have a YouTube channel. Everything I'm doing basically is just to actually upskill myself, because when I started my journey, I don't know how to speak to people, especially if it's the first time I'm meeting them. Then when I started my journey, I was not a very outspoken person. I was not able to communicate clearly. and also to, like, when people call my name in a gathering or in a call, I'll start stuttering because I had anxiety. At least now I'm speaking very well. Yeah. So I was like, okay, so instead of me crying about it, that I have so many weaknesses, like there's so many things I can't do, why not I just work on these things that I think it's not possible? Like these things I'm having so much thought about, why not work on them? So anything I'm actually doing is actually helping me to grow and also upskill, because I'm speaking at a lot of events, speaking at visual events, speaking at physical events, because I just want to work on myself and be able to, especially for physical events, I want to be able to stand in, at least when a lot of persons are sitting down, I want to be able to speak, to be able to explain how to use a particular feature or how to use a particular platform. So yeah, so everything is basically more structured now that I'm in Malta. And it's actually nice too that I have support from where I work. They actually support me a lot. And when I got my Microsoft MVP, they were all over my LinkedIn post. They told me congrats. And when I got to the office, I had so much, yeah, because I traveled then and I came back. I went for a vacation leave and I came back and I had so many messages on my Teams, also on my email. So yeah, it's nice.
No, I think, like, you know, what you said there, it's kind of similar to what I kind of did when I first obviously stepped into the community. It's like, yeah, I know where my weaknesses lie. I mean, yes, public speaking up, yeah, for one was, you know, a struggle. So yeah, when I set up a user group, it was literally then basically throwing myself into it. Yeah. Because initially, when I started doing community work, I was involved in a podcast called The UC Architects. And with that podcast, there was quite a few guys within that team that knew a hell of a lot more than me. So I never felt comfortable, yeah, basically being able to put my head above the parapet and go, right, well, I will speak a little, yeah, bit about that. So I always felt very uncomfortable when I was doing that podcast.
Yeah.
It wasn't then until I was like, well, I don't want to feel like that anymore. So I then set, yeah, up a user group. So that way it got me in front of people, being more confident, yeah, because I'm, yeah, then meeting people, amazing, that I've never met before, going, like, hello, come, yeah, in, sit down. No, what's your name? Yeah. Who do you work for? And then I was, yeah, then delivering sessions and introducing people. I think,
yes,
you have to very much work on your weaknesses when obviously working in the environment that we do, where we have to speak to, yeah, customers and engage, because, yeah, obviously they're looking at you as the leader and the technical, yeah, person that should be able to answer every single question, which, you know, it's physically impossible most of the time, but, you, yeah, know, it is say very important. And so it very much depends on what kind of person you are. And, yeah, for me it was, yeah, just basically throw myself in the deep end, start, yeah, you know, doing user groups, and then obviously I've then just gone on and I say I achieved my MVP back in 2015. Yeah. And then, yeah, I think I stopped at 2018, so I've got 3 years. But so I've done everything I wanted to achieve in that time. For, you know, I've got the accreditation, I've been out to, yeah, Redmond.
That's amazing.
So, you know, I've done, yeah, things that I know in my life that I never thought I'd do. So, yes, yeah, I completely understand. Just, yeah, yeah, doing the things that you're doing is obviously one way of naturally building yourself up and then basically pushing yourself to do more. Because I think the one thing that we all fall in the trap of is once we start going and doing community work, you'll then see, oh, well, I can do that, and oh, that sounds interesting, I'll do that, and oh, I want to speak over there, I'll submit, yeah, a session, and it just snowballs and then just becomes your life, doesn't it, really?
Yeah, it's amazing. It's really, really amazing. Especially, I think one thing that is also nice to pick up is that, like, especially for me, because I take it more like fun. I try and have fun with it, not to get overwhelmed. I also try and use it to work on myself. So yeah, it's pretty amazing. And you like to be everywhere because there are so many events happening everywhere. Yeah, so it's really good.
I wish I could travel as much as I used to, but it ain't gonna happen. It really ain't.
Yeah.
So as a young woman coming from Nigeria, if you had to go back to Nigeria and speak to girls who want to follow the similar career path as you, what would your advice be?
Okay, I think I would say nothing is impossible because most times I just wake up and I can't believe that I'm at this point in my life, because I know I still have a lot of things to do and a lot of things to achieve, but I still can't believe I'm at this point in my life that I was able to travel out of Nigeria without any, like, anybody from my family sponsoring me to this point I am right now. So if I get back to Nigeria and I speak to anyone, I'm just going to tell them that nothing is impossible. You just have to put in the work. You just have to put in the work. And you don't have to think that. I think there's this idea I had when this idea I had was that one day, like, magic will happen and things will start getting better. You just have to know that nobody's coming. You have to take your life seriously. You have to do things. You have to make things happen. You have to make things happen for yourself. You have to pursue your goals. There's no need sitting down and dreaming, like daydreaming, because we are daydreaming lots. Yeah. So there's no need sitting down and daydreaming. Instead of daydreaming, why don't you just work on it? And also, tech is amazing. Yeah, tech is amazing. You don't have to think that you have to be so knowledgeable to come into tech. You don't have to think that you have to be so brilliant to come into tech. Nothing is impossible if you put in the work. And also, I would say that you're your biggest supporter. Support yourself. You don't have to wait for people to acknowledge you. You don't have to wait for people to tell you that, oh, Rachel, you are good, you are clinical, you are this one, you are that one. You just have to be your own biggest supporter. Then I would say not to compare yourself with anyone too. While you are learning, while you are in your journey, you don't have to compare yourself that, okay, I started at the same time as this person and I'm still below. This person is doing so much. This person is doing that. This person is doing that. So you're yesterday and you're today. So you should be competing with your yesterday, with your now. Yeah. And I'll say coming to Power Platform. Power Platform is amazing and the community is amazing. They are so selfless. They reach out to you, ask you, how are you doing? It's amazing, because when I got into the community, I was like, okay, does this exist? Yeah, so I'll tell you to join Power Platform and come into the community. Yeah.
Okay, I've got a question which I've never really asked before. So it's probably a new thing for the podcast. So if you went into a room with obviously a bunch of young people and as you spoke about what you're currently doing, what would be your elevator pitch to get them to go into Power Platform?
I think it's always be the community. It will always be the community. I think we have the Dynamics 365 Power Platform user group meetup, physical meetup here in Malta. And I'm one of the co-organizers. Other co-organizer for sure, he was talking about the community, like the Power Platform community. And there was something he mentioned that I really, really thought about, because I was like, okay, when I started this journey and I did not really have any support, where would I be right now? Because he was saying that, okay, there was a point where he was learning, I think that was Java. He was learning Java. He just came into the tech world and he was learning Java. And he was trying to he built something and he was trying to build an interface for it to see how that works. And he checked, that was a long time ago, he checked online and there was no resources on that particular thing he wanted to build. And there was also no community or anybody he could reach out to that he could ask a question about, okay, what can I do here? I'm stuck. So I think the selling point I would always say is the community. And also Power Platform, when you are getting started, you don't have to know how to code in order to join the Power, in order to build applications or solve business problems with Power Platform. Yeah.
I think that's probably, the right thing to say. As soon as you step into any of the, Microsoft pillars, whether it's M365, Azure, or security, or whatever, there is obviously generally a good feel when you join the community, because you start networking with people who are going to not only just advocate you, but also push you as well, because they can, they probably see something in you that didn't really see in yourself, and they go, well, you could do more here. Why aren't you?
And I think another thing to also point out too is that one thing I also love about Microsoft Power Platform is that you do not have to have a role in Microsoft Power Platform to use the applications in Microsoft Power Platform. You can be a data analyst, a business analyst, and you can use Power Automate. You can use Power Apps. No matter where you are or what role you are doing, you can use an application in Power Platform. So that's one thing also I love about Power Platform. Yeah.
I mean, I am a complete novice when it comes to Power Platform. I mean, I use Power Automate for certain things that I do, like with the podcast. So when you submit your form to me, I'll get Power Automate to basically send me an email going, yes, you submitted the form. Yeah. Like, and I do it like, little bits at work as well. But for me, it's not something that I've ever kind of like really dived into. I mean, I know I probably should, because there's certain things that I could probably automate from particular customers into me that might be a little bit better, because obviously the admin tasks. Yeah. I mean, I forget if someone gives me a co-pilot license, I could probably do that as well. But yeah, I think Power Platform is quite a useful toolkit to have, because obviously the things that you can do, how you can manipulate your data, you know, does benefit me on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah, it's amazing, it's good.
So obviously we spoke a lot about your past and what you're currently doing. So what is like the future goals for yourself? Where do you see yourself going? I mean, I know obviously around the corner we've got MVP Summit. So are you off to MVP Summit?
No, the time is too short for me to plan for the MVP Summit.
That's a shame.
Yeah, but I'm planning to travel to Tennessee this month to go for a conference in Tennessee. Then I say future goals, I can say that I'm planning to speak more at physical events so I can work on myself to be able to like to speak to people. I think one of the goals I have is that to be able to speak in a room of 1,000 people or more. Hopefully, fingers crossed. Yeah, to be able to speak in a room of 1,000 people or more. And also, I don't know if it's possible, but they say there's nothing possible if you actually ask. I think one of the goals too I have is speaking at or hosting Microsoft, being a part of the Microsoft Ignite, maybe this year or next year or any years. I'm still here, so. Yeah. Yeah.
Whenever you can get someone convinced to give you an opportunity.
Yeah, and when anybody gives me an opportunity, I'm ready, because I'm already working on myself to be able to do that. And then I can say upskilling, working on my skills, working on my code, learn how to code, and also learning Dynamics, Power Platform, improving myself, working all around, and also improving my soft skills. Because I don't want to just work on my technical skills and neglect my soft skills. So also work on my soft skills. Yeah. So maybe more future goals might add to it. But I think that's all I can think about right now.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, it's hard. It's a tough question, because you know what you think now probably won't be what you think in the future. You may have life changes, career changes. You know, your goals may slightly change. My goal for this podcast is obviously to keep going as long as possible, speaking to obviously different people from different regions, because again, it's one way of educating myself about the world, because I learn about, you know, different people from different regions. But also it's the important part of this whole entire podcast, it's sharing people's stories, because, you know, if I don't do it, who else is going to? So, you know, I could sit here all day long, probably talk about tech, but you know, it's going to be outdated in, you know, 2 minutes' time when Microsoft release a new product update. So, you know, sharing people's stories is so important to me, because they are, you know, I've never been to Malta, I've never been to Nigeria. Yeah. So they're countries that for me, like, okay, well, yeah, I've heard of them, but I don't ever see myself traveling there at any point soon. So,
yeah.
But so with the whole community and the drive to obviously, you know, get involved in Ignite, what does the Microsoft MVP title mean to you?
I think it's amazing to actually be recognized, because I've been contributing to the community since I joined, like since I started my career in tech. That was 2022. I started my career in tech. Like, I got to know Power Platform November 2021. And then I started contributing to the community January 2022. So being recognized for everything I've contributed and also contributing, it's amazing. And also being able to, like, I've not really explored it yet. I'm still doing what I'm doing, but it's amazing. Yeah. And also the Microsoft also having access to the MVP Summit. I'm obviously going to be attending online this year. So yeah. It's really, really cool.
I think it's one key thing to highlight you just said in that that sentence there is you started in 2022.
Yeah.
It's obviously taking you 2 years to become an MVP. So, you know, it's not a, you know, a quick blast to get the MVP status. It's very much a slow burn because it all very much depends on what your aspirations are and how quick you want to go along that road. So I think when I started my journey, I think it took about 3 years. Wow. And I got nominated three times. And obviously two of them times I wasn't successful. And it wasn't then until I had a lot more contributions, because that's what they are, contributions. That's when I started doing actual conferences. Then it really pushed me in the limelight to get my achievements. So anyone that's obviously listening who wants to be an MVP, it's not easy.
Yeah, it's not easy. And I love, there's something you just mentioned that I love a lot is that you mentioned being nominated first time, nominated second time and third time, because a lot of persons, when they are nominated first time and they don't get it, they become discouraged that, okay, there's no need pushing too much towards this anymore. Yeah, so failure is not denial.
The one thing for me though is you get nominated once, you have to fill out that horrible form.
There's no
easy way of inputting that data into that form, so it's all manual entry. It's like,
you have to just
call Microsoft, you know what I mean? You've got to be easy way of doing it.
It took me a month to actually fill that form. It took me a month. it's stressful.
So obviously the key thing is any contributions that you're doing, make sure you make a note of them, because if you don't, then obviously, as you say, it took you a month to pay. If you don't have that list of contributions, you're going to be scratching your head. Well, I did that. Where was it? And I need evidence to go with it. So, it's not nice. And you know, the annoying thing is, obviously, you fill out that form once for the first nomination. You then got to fill out the form again. For the second one.
Again.
And then because I'm on that third time again. So it's like, if I'm not successful now, I'm not going to carry on.
That's stressful. Yeah. I wish when you are typing the words and it suggests for you, like, okay, you're supposed to write this, you're supposed to, that would be better.
Can't we just use Copilot for that one for us? Here's my LinkedIn profile. No, if you've ever done, just go scan that and just like import it in. Here's my blog and my statistics. Just put it all in there for me.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
So, yeah, I mean, community works great. I mean, obviously, if you do ever get to the Redmond, it's, you know, an amazing place to be. I've spoken about it on this podcast before. The networking, the experience. The seeing that the whole way Microsoft operates from inside, obviously we're from outside, it blew me away. I mean, I've never been to, it's basically like a city within a city, and it was just like seeing all the different people doing like morning activities, doing running around the campus and football pitches, American football pitches. It's like,
that's amazing.
I mean, if I had the opportunity for someone to give me a job to go and work in Redmond, I'd consider it. What they'll give me a job as. Maybe a janitor. I could do that, you know. As long as I need to live on campus.
I think Microsoft, they have a new campus now, right?
Yes.
Okay, they have it. I saw the picture online. It's beautiful and it's big. I can't wait to see it. Yeah,
amazing. I mean, I have to say, of all the places I've ever visited in my life, I would go back to Seattle tomorrow, because it was just completely different. Climate-wise, it's similar to where I live in the UK. Obviously, it can be nice, it can be wet. But I think, you know, from a city and walking around and seeing something different, I'd go over there tomorrow if I could.
Hopefully, fingers crossed for me.
I'll happily come to Malta as well, because it's obviously nice weather in Malta, you know what I mean?
Malta is small. You have sea everywhere, Mediterranean Sea everywhere,
Cool.
Yeah, it's good.
So, as a final message for this episode, what advice would you give to anyone within the Power Platform community that wants to try and achieve the MVP status that you've got?
Okay, I think, like I said, it takes time to get there. I think you should contribute to the community, also post about it so that people can see what you are doing. Because if you are just doing it and nobody knows, nobody will be aware to nominate you. So I'll say, as you are contributing to the community, post about it, like post what you did or what you have done. Maybe you had like a tutorial class, you hosted a class for people, maybe for like 2 days, 3 days, post about it, this is how the class went, stuff like that. Anything you are doing, just try and post about it so that people can be aware. Follow people online, follow Power Platform people online, follow Power. A lot of persons, they have Power Platform on their profile, they have Power Addict on their profile. Try and follow them. And also just have fun with it. Yeah, have fun. Just.
Yeah, I mean, as I say, like, my journey was basically, I saw something I was doing manually and thought, you know, there's got to be a way of automating it. So then when I looked, yeah. Well, yeah, Power Platform can do it for me. So why am I not doing that? So that's good. I mean, yeah, just put yourself in there, get involved. That's, you know, the biggest message you can put at anyone, really.
Yes, definitely, definitely. And also use it as an opportunity to grow. Yeah, use it as an opportunity to grow. Because when you are contributing to the community, there are so many areas you can contribute to the community. You can contribute through YouTube videos, blog posts, articles. You can even contribute through just a lot of persons, when they think about contributing to the community, they look at it as a very big thing. Like, I have to do something so expertise in order to contribute to the community. So it can be anything. It can just be discussing online, asking, answering questions from the Power Platform forum. And most times the questions are very easy. So that is one. You can also hold classes, write blog posts. If you're not a person who likes doing videos or likes writing, you can just find something and contribute to the community. Or you can also speak at your local meetups, either visually or physically. So there are so many things that a lot of persons are doing out there. You just figure out your thing and see what works for you.
Yeah, I'm sorry. If you're ever unsure of obviously contributing to the community, go to a meetup, because you'll obviously meet people who are, you know, wanting to do the same or already doing it. So that's a really good suggestion. Cool. Yeah. Right, Rachel, thank you for joining me today and laughing and smiling all the way through, which you have done. It's been interesting, obviously, having a conversation with someone that, you know, I met, wasn't there 6 months ago? Yeah, 6 months ago.
It's not 6 months.
That was me, UK. So thank you for joining me today, and everyone else listening, I will see you on the next episode.
Yeah, thank you. Bye.
Thank you. Thank you for listening to the Microsoft Spotlight podcast. Please make sure you hit that like, share and subscribe button to help us promote our message. You can also follow us on Twitter at MSFT Spotlight, and we're also on LinkedIn, the Microsoft Spotlight podcast. And finally, we'd like to tell you a little bit about BitTitan and thank them for sponsoring this podcast.
Remote migrations start here. Let MigrationWiz do the work for you. It's fast, secure and 100% SaaS, which means you can migrate at any time and from anywhere. Migrate mailboxes, documents, public folders, personal archives, or even Microsoft Teams with just a few clicks. No special training needed and no customer downtime. When the work matters, choose MigrationWiz.